Good afternoon, best family, friends, neighbors. Thank you for joining us again for another podcast gathering. I guess it's morning now, but we thank you for joining. Appreciate y'all joining us every Sunday. We know being at home, you have several ministry options to choose on radio or television, podcasts, but we thank you for joining with us. I'm just glad to see anybody come in. I'm thinking one Sunday I'm going to come in and nobody's going to be there, but every Sunday y'all show up, so I certainly appreciate that to support the best podcast ministry. So thank you guys. Saw you coming in, Jamaica, Sister Busby, Jordan. I think I seen Julie and him a while ago. So, and Corliss. All right, I see y'all coming in. Everybody lining up, and I think we're gonna have a really good time enjoying the Lord through our podcast gathering today. And so, be prayerful, because even though it's a podcast, we still need prayer and presence and the power of God to make it an effective time together. Francia, we see you. Thank you for joining us this morning. Let's thank all of you. I may have missed one, but I thank all of you that are gradually joining in. We're going to get ready for our prayer from Cheryl this morning. She's going to give us our prayer, and then we'll come back and proceed to worship the Lord through podcast gathering. So we appreciate you. Pray with Cheryl as she comes and leads us in prayer.
Good morning, family. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Some of us have had a challenging week and all kinds of things that we've experienced. And so we're thankful that he's given us the privilege this morning to come together as a family and just proclaim who he is and who he is to us. Let's go to the Lord. Father, as we bow this morning, we are most grateful just for the privilege of prayer. Prayer allows us to silence all the noise around us, all the noise in us. As we come in, we bow, we're thankful that we can on earth reach heaven through the power of prayer. We thank you that God, that you're intimately acquainted with us and you know our voice and how much assurance that gives us on this morning. We thank you for that life. We thank you for health and strength. We thank you. Thank you that things are as well with us as they are. And in the middle of whatever happened on this week, yesterday, last week, this morning, God, we say thank you. Thank you in the middle of frustration. Thank you in the middle of disappointments. Thank you in the middle of darkness. Thank you when we don't understand. Thank you when there's questions that need answers. And God, we still find a reason to say thank you. Thank you that our families are well. Thank you that we have friends who have enriched our lives. Now, God, as we pause now and prepare for your word, we pray, Father God, that our hearts are prepared. We pray you create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. We pray, God, all those things we said and done that were not pleasing to you now, that you would forgive us, cleanse us now from all unrighteousness. We want to experience a pure time of worship with you on this morning. So we pray, God, our hearts and our minds are ready. We pray, God, your word, Father God, we planted like seed in our hearts. And your word says, God, that it will produce what you have sent it for to produce. So bless our time together in a great way, God, as we need a word from you this morning. We need strength from you this morning. God, we need, God, clarity this morning. We need you to speak expressly to where we are this morning. We pray, God, for strength for those that need strength, encouragement for those that need encouragement, God, those that need a fresh wind. Oh, God, that's all of us this morning, God, listening to the news, God, day in and day out. God, this world needs a fresh wind. We need a healing in our land, God. We need you in a great way. So we pray, God, you move by your spirit today. Every speaker, even on every radio station and TV broadcast, not just this one. We pray your word would go forward with power and with might, and that families' lives will be changed, individuals' lives will be transformed. God, in this world, God, would be set on the right course. We pray for those who are in leadership, government, presidents, and all those who are making decisions, God. We pray for wisdom for them, Father God. As we bow now to just enter into your time of word and worship, we want you to speak to us clearly. We pray your power and presence on this podcast on this morning, because in your presence, God, is fullness of joy, pleasures forevermore. And I thank you for the pastor that you have given us, Father God, to break the bread of life to us. We pray, God, your word is clear, that your word speaks through us in a way that meets us in our heart in a very real place. Bless our time together in a great way. It's in Jesus' name, God, we thank you and we praise you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Cheryl, for leading us in prayer. All right, we're ready to get into the Word of God this morning. This morning, we are in this Second Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. If you can turn, if you have a copy of the scripture, or you can go there in your devices, those of you that are using devices this morning. We kind of hesitant at using this passage, since I think in the last maybe 3 or 4 years we've all preached out this passage at least maybe 3 times, and I don't like to preach the same passage. I try to go around and find different passages to preach out of, but I think this is the one that God wanted us to share with you up on this morning. So what we want to talk about this morning is found in this 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians. I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. Verses 1 through 10. From, I think, the New King James. It says, "It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth, but I refrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Amen. We thank God for the reading and of his word, and we pray that as we walk it out, we'll be blessed in our lives. Today I want to talk about, from the subject, grace strong. Grace strong. I've been seeing in the last few years that often when a community has to deal with a difficult situation, maybe it's an earthquake, or a hurricane or a tornado, or maybe it was a mass shooting in schools, or maybe it was an explosion like recently happened down on the Gulf Coast. When a community has to deal with this type of tragic experience, and that community is able to come through, whatever the name of the community, they put it in the blank and call it strong. For instance, a few years ago, most of us know that are part of the Beth and surrounding areas know about the city of West in Texas. Amen. And West had one of those fertilizer explosions and of a fertilizer plant, and a lot of the city was destroyed. A lot of lives were lost in that small city, and I think a few weeks or months later, they came, if I'm not mistaken, up to Plano to play a game, their football team, and they had a banner to show their resilience and their ability to still stand strong in the midst of their trial. And that banner said, West Strong. Amen. And we've had other cities and communities that had those same kinds of tragedies or things happen to them, and they had those same kind of banners with whatever the community's name in front of the word strong. And as believers, I think if we look into this passage, it's like Paul is saying to our spiritual or our faith community that the reason why we are able to stand and still be effective ministering through the trials that believers, followers of Christ, those involved in impacting the world for the Christ's sake. The reason why we are able to stand strong is because of grace. So he's saying, if I had a banner, Paul is saying, my banner would be grace strong, because he realized it wasn't Paul that was strong that made him effective in ministry, but it was God's grace that made him strong. Well, let's look at the situation. The situation was that Paul was faced with some that were attacking his authority as apostle. Mostly they were Judaizers. Those were Jews that came down from Jerusalem, and they insisted that before one could truly be a follower of Christ, they would first have to follow the Jewish law and be circumcised and so on, and make themselves subject to the Jewish law. And because Paul spoke differently, they tried to attack Paul's authority using their credentials and their experiences and how great they was. They tried to attack Paul's ministry. Paul, in the second letter of Corinthians, is defending his ministry. And Paul kind of gives his credentials in a different way. Rather than boasting about his achievements, first we see Paul boasting about his troubles, his weaknesses, his struggles, and what had he had went through. So he gives a different kind of a resume, you might say. If you have your Bibles open or your device, you can go back to chapter 11. And I'm just going to read it beginning at verse 16. And it says, and this is Paul speaking, as he's defending his apostleship against those that are attacking his authority as an apostle. Paul says, I say again, let no one think me a fool. If otherwise, at least receive me as a fool, that I also may boast a little. What I speak not according to the law, but as it were, foolishly in this confidence of boasting, seeing that many boast according to the flesh, I also will boast. Now, Paul is saying, now the false apostles, they'll boast according to their own achievements. But Paul said, I'm going to boast a little difference. In verse 19, for you put up with fools gladly, since you yourselves are wise, for you put up with it if one brings you into bondage, if one devours you, if one takes from you, if one exalts himself, if one strikes you on the face. To our shame, I say that we were too weak for that. But in whatever anyone is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. And then Paul gives his resume. Are they Hebrews? Talking about those Judaizers. So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. I worked harder. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequently. In deaths, often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was strong. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and day I have been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of water. In perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen. In perils of the Gentiles. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among the false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in coldness and nakedness, besides other things, what comes among me daily? My deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is made to stumble? And I do not burn with indignation. If I must boast, I will boast in the thing which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, know that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, was guarding the city of the Damascus when a garrison desiring to arrest me. But I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hand. So Paul said, look at all the trouble I've gotten myself into as an apostle. These, rather than boasting my, I'm just boasting in all the trouble that I've went through in ministry. And trying to be a follower of Christ and be loyal to Christ. I'm just telling you about everything that I went through, even to the point that at last I had to allow myself to be let down out of a window in a wall and run for my life. So I'm not boasting in my strength. I'm boasting in my weaknesses, in my trial, in my troubles. And now some translation when he was talking about the things he was boasting, because he says, basically what he's saying, that boasting is somewhat foolish anyway, but since that's what y'all have been heard, let me defend my own apostleship. Let me just act a fool just a little while. Hey, just to show y'all that I also have some credentials. But rather than talking about how great I am, I'm going to want to let y'all know what I've been through for the God that we serve. And let that be my way of showing that I am truly an apostle. I'm not like the other ones. I don't take advantage of you, but I'm often in peril, and he goes through all the things. Read back through that if you get a chance later on today. So that's Paul. And then he comes to chapter 12, where we are today. And he says, And this is my first thing, as we look at this message of being grace strong. As he began, I want to talk, the first point that I really want to make to you is Paul's, I want to talk about Paul's paradise experience. Paul's paradise experience. Listen to Paul says. Now, Paul really didn't want to share it. You can tell when we start reading this that this is the first time he shared it. Now, if many of us would have had this kind of experience that Paul is about to talk about, you wouldn't have been able to keep us from talking about it this long. We'd have been telling, we'd have been name dropping and telling it everywhere we went. But Paul had kind of kept this to himself, because he didn't want people to think more highly of him than they should. Amen. He wanted people to have a sober opinion of him. Listen to what he says in chapter 12, verse 1. It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and to revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ. Now, when Paul says, I know a man, he's really talking about himself, but he's talking about himself in a third person in order not to be too boastful. He says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And the man, he said, because of this vision, he didn't really understand as he was caught up if this was a vision he was having while he was still in his body, or was his spirit and soul soaring outside of his body. Couldn't understand, but he did see himself caught up in the third heaven and in paradise. And he saw something that he said it was so wonderful you couldn't really put it in the words. So that's what Paul said. Now, a few months ago, I had one of our members of our congregation came to ask me and called and asked me, say, Pastor, how many heavens are there? And he said, now, I told everybody that it was one heaven, but they were telling me it was three heavens. And in a way, amen, both parties were right. If you're talking about the heaven of heavens, where God's throne is, there is only one of those. Amen. If you're talking about the heaven of heaven, where God's throne is. But if you're talking about how the Bible talks about heaven, you can say it's three heavens. But all the first heaven, let me explain what these heavens are. The first heaven is the clouds, or the atmosphere. It's where the birds fly, and it's our atmosphere basically around the earth, where we have clouds and amen. That's kind of what the Bible, when the Bible talks about the first heaven, it's talking about the atmosphere around the earth, where we see clouds and oxygen and birds fly and everything in that first heaven. The second heaven is when you go beyond that realm and you go into what we call sometime outer space, where the stars and the galaxies and the sun and all those things, moon, all exist. That's what the Bible says is the second heaven. And the third heaven, the heaven of heavens, is the one when we just say heaven, that's usually what we're talking about. And that's the heaven of heaven where God's throne is. And so when it comes to the heaven, if you're talking about the heaven where God's throne is, the heaven of heaven, there's only one. But if you're talking about, as the Bible sometimes explains, the three heavens, you're talking about the atmosphere being one heaven, you're talking about outer space being one heaven, and then you're talking about the heaven of heaven where God's throne is being the third heaven. So Paul says, I was in the third heaven where the throne of God and the angels is, and I saw some things up there, amen, that, man, they were so great. You can't even express their greatness. It was such a wonderful experience. And then in verse 6 he says, for how he was caught up in paradise and heard an inexpressible word. Like he said, I can't explain it. which it is not lawful for me. And even if I could explain it, God won't let me explain it. And then the 5, it says, of such one I will boast. Yet of myself I will not boast except in my affirmative. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool. Because it's foolish to boast about yourself. I will speak truth, but I refrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. Basically, let me break it all down. Paul is saying here, I went to the third heaven, the heaven where God's throne is, the heaven of heaven, where all the angels, where God is worshiped around the clock, but there's no clock because there's eternity. There's no time or space. But I've been to that heaven. I've experienced that heaven. I don't know if I was in my body when I experienced it. I don't know if it was a vision when I experienced it. I don't know if my spirit had left my body, but I've been to that heaven and I've seen some amazing things there. Amen. But I don't want to just boast about that. I've been holding that in for 14 years, and now I'm sharing that with you. But I'd rather not boast about that, because I don't want you to think just because I've been to the third heaven that I'm better than anybody else. I don't want you to think of me as some superhuman person. That's because God allowed me to see that vision. I would rather you think of me just as a gifted apostle, one of God's messengers, and think of me that way. So Paul shared that. So Paul shared that he had been to paradise. His paradise experience is what he shared in those first 6 verses. Then he gets down to verse 7. And I call this second point, not only did Paul share his paradise experience, but in point 2, beginning in verse 7, it says, I want to look at Paul's painful experience. Look at what Paul, and least I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelation. Okay, he's seen some revelation. God has showed him a thing that nobody else has seen. So now he said, to keep me from being puffed up and proud and exalted above measure, because I've seen things that nobody else has seen, God has given me a thorn in my flesh, a message of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. So Paul said, now, God gave me, and we don't really know specifically what this might have been. It could have included anything. It could have been something debilitating physical issue he had. It could have been some painful experiences that he was constantly having, some trial, the persecution that was always following him around. It could have been some temptation or some emotional trauma. We don't know exactly what this was, but whatever it was, Paul says that God had given him this thing in order, because he had had that paradise experience, he had given him the painful experience to kind of keep him from becoming too prideful, too proud, or from just being too haughty. Now, so that was it. Now look at verse 8. We've seen the paradise experience. We've talked about it. We've talked about the painful experience. Now, just look at Paul's prayer experience. In verse 8, it says, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weaknesses. Therefore, most glad I rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Paul said, I pray for God to take it away. Whatever that, he said, it was a thorn in the flesh. It was something that was painful in some way, something that was bothersome, something that was negatively constantly happening in his life. And he said, I prayed 3 times for God to take this thing away. And then God finally answered and said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in weaknesses. Paul prayed to escape the thorn. Paul wanted to escape the thorn and say, hey, it's difficult for me. It's hard to deal with this thorn every day. Paul's prayer was to escape the thorn. But God said no to Paul's prayer to escape the thorn. Rather, God said, I'm not going to grant your prayer that you might escape the thorn, but I'm going to enlist the thorn. I don't want you to escape the thorn, but I'm going to enlist the thorn in order that that thorn may move you to the place that you can be more effective. Paul said to the escape, no, but to the enlistment, or taking that thorn to move Paul and to bring Paul to the place that he wanted Paul to be, he said, the greater yes. God, I've said before on multiple occasions that God is so good that he always answers our prayers with a greater yes. He just don't say yes. He said, whatever we ask him for, he always gives us the greatest good back. Paul wanted to escape, but that wasn't the greatest thing for Paul to have at that time. So God, rather than say no to the escape, but he said yes to the, I'm going to enlist what you're going through. In other words, I'm going to use what you're going through in order to take you to the place that I want you to be. So Paul, I know you want to escape, but I want you to know that my strength is made perfect. I'm not going to take that weakness away because my strength is going to work through it. I'm going to list that weakness so my strength can work through it. So, my brothers and sisters, listen. When we look at that, when we look at Paul's paradise experience and then Paul's painful experience and then Paul's prayer experience, God, in saying no to Paul and enlisting the thorn in the flesh, brings to us the final point, Paul's power experience. He allowed Paul to be powerful. Paul became powerful because God left the weakness there. And in that weakness, God's power showed up in Paul's life. Oh, wow. God, sometimes your weakness can be your greatest asset because it keeps you from being proud and self-sufficient and self-righteousness. God likes to use the underdog. Yes, he does. It's in the scripture. He loves to choose and use. Now, he used anybody, but he just had, it seemed like he just, something about he just really, really uses the underdog. Listen, let me go back to 1 Corinthians. I'm reading this from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 26 through 26 to, I think, 31. And this is what Paul is saying. I'm trying to show what scripture says about Paul using that underdog person, that person that everybody had counted out, that person that that most people say, he's a no use. God can't use them. They just don't have what it takes. But listen at what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes, are powerful, are wealthy when God called you. You hear what Paul is saying? He said, y'all weren't that wise, not in the world eye. You weren't that powerful. You didn't have that powerful position. You wasn't that wealthy when God called you. But listen to what it said in verse 27. Instead, God deliberately chose. God had a plan. He deliberately chose things of the world that the world considered foolish in order to shame those things that the world thought was wise. The people that the world think is wise, God went around them a lot of time and chose those people that the world would look down upon and say, they ain't about that much. But God said, yeah, that's an underdog, but you don't know what I can do with an underdog. And if they'd have just looked back through scripture, they'd have saw that God was always using underdogs. Amen. Because look at him using the young David against Goliath. He was a young boy, and then he didn't really have no fighting experience as for his man-to-man combat. He had fighting experience according to man the bear and man the lion, but they didn't know about that in the world. And Goliath, who represents the girl's point, Goliath the giant, who represents the world's point of view, looked down at little David and said, underestimated him and thought of him as a nobody. How can he take me out? And got out there and started talking him down and whatever. But God used David to take him down. Because when David came out to fight Goliath, David did not come out in himself. But David said, I'm not going to do this, but the Lord going to do this. Because you've been insulting the people of God. And here comes God, and he used little David, the young one. But said, not only can he use the one that the world think is too young, he can use the one that the world think is, well, before I move to that point, that is, you need to listen to that. You need to listen to that, young people, what I just said. You need to listen to that. Amen. You might be young, but don't think that because you're young, God can't use you. But not only can God use the young, but God can also use the old. If you don't think he can use the old, don't forget about Sarah and Abraham. Amen. They looked at Sarah and the world said, oh, no, no way. Old as Sarah and Abraham is, no way they can have a child. But I want to tell you, don't count God out. God can use the young and the old. Don't fool yourself. God can still come through for you. God uses people that everybody else. Look at Mary. Mary, a young woman. And she wasn't from the king's family. Everybody might have thought the Messiah was going to come through the king's family, come through the palace, amen, of the king or the royalty or the priest. But Mary was just a young poor girl, amen, that lived in the hood, trying to do the best she could. But God blessed her, amen, to be the mother of the Lord Jesus. Because that's the way God uses those that the world looks down on and does amazing things through their life, because God wants when he does it like that, the credit won't go to the person, because they realize the person didn't have the power to do it. The glory goes to God. All through the scripture, we see God doing that. Even Israel, when he chose Israel, wasn't because they were so great and such a big name. So they were just a little small tribe on the move. But God took Abraham, and he became the father of the faithful, and Israel became a great. They won a great nation. But here God said, Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to make your name great. Because people look at you now, they don't see much in you. But wait till I get finished with you. Wait till I get finished. God always chooses. And if we'll be honest with ourselves, that's the same thing he does with us. I'm going to go and finish reading. And he chose those who are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose the things that are despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important, so that no one can ever boast in the presence of God. God alone made it possible for you to be in Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made Christ to be wisdom itself. He is the one who made us acceptable to God. He made us pure and holy. And he gave himself to purchase our freedom. As the scripture said, the person who wishes to boast should boast only of what the Lord has done. It's amazing. He's the God of the underdog. And you look, I'm looking at this, he's the God of the underdog. But then you say, God of the underdog. But you look at that word underdog, and you change, and you just reverse that dog spelling, and you go from being underdog to under God. Oh, and when you under God, God can do some amazing things when you bring your life under the power of a great God. So, amen. The greatest thing, he can take an underdog and put the underdog under God, and God can do amazing, amazing things with him. So we're grace strong. We're strong not because it's in our own ability. We're not what I want to call grit strong. Grit strong is when you just supposed to be born with a strong character. Well, I don't know, some of you may be grit strong, but I wasn't born with that kind of character. I was born, amen, and then God made me grace strong. The only reason why I made it this far was by God's grace. So I'm grace strong. And that's the great thing about it. And we all, as believers, we should be grace strong. I was reading as I was researching and preparing for this message. And one of the books I read, I forget the author's name, but he said that, weak is the new strong. Weak, and that is when it comes to God, weak is the new strong. I like to say it like this. God's weak, our weak is God's peak. So in our weakness, God, peak, I'm talking about being the top of the mountain, the top, when you're at your peak strength, or a car is at its peak speed, that means it's at its top. God's strength, that's why I said, God said, Paul, don't worry about that, because my strength is made perfect in your weakness. In other words, when you're weak, I peak. I get most glory when you're weak, because people can see what I've done for you and what I'm doing in your life. Listen, my brothers and sisters, realize that whatever weakness, whatever struggle you're going through now, we know the struggle is real. Whatever struggle you're going through now, whatever thing you're trying to overcome now, whatever pressure you're up under now, I know you've been praying and praying for God to bring you through, for God, amen, to deliver you from it, from God to help you to exit from that thing. But it's not always God's will for you to exit. Sometimes God said, no, I'm going to use this thing. I'm going to enlist this situation that you're in order that I can take you from where you at to where I'm taking you. So, amen, God will say no to the exit, but he'll say yes to the enlistment of that situation, because he said, I'm going to use it to make you the person I want it to be. I'm going to use it to bring you closer to me. I'm going to use it to humble you. I'm going to use it so you'll know how great I am. And then you can praise me, because there's a problem with pride. And pride sometimes forget to praise. Amen. Because pride think, I done made it on my own. I done made it by myself. I done made it in my own strength. But when you humble yourself and see the only reason why you are where you are and have what you have made it through what you made it through and don't look like what you came through is because God was with you and he was your strength in the middle of the weakness of that situation. Can I get an amen out of anybody? God is a good God, and he's worthy to be praised and adored. I'm so glad, amen, for God's grace. It was the source of power that made Paul's ministry a success and effective. And if we are to be effective in living our lives for Christ in a way that he gets glory, it'll come from the power of God working through the weaknesses of our life, working through the struggles of our life, working through our heartaches, working through our pain, working through the things that God is taking us through. God will use those things to make us reflections of how amazing he is. They'll see him through our weakness. Well, let me close this thing out, y'all. I think it was Friday night, and I was looking at the Democratic convention, and a lot of people, you know, were on there making their comments and sharing how they feel about the presidential candidate, Joe Biden. And, you know, a lot of them were scholars and people of power, maybe senators or congressmen or other politicians or other people that maybe Yale and Harvard graduates and lawyers and people that's of high esteem. But then when I was listening to the reviews a little later on in the next day, and everybody was saying all the speeches, but one person seemed to stick out. One person seems to be on everybody's mind even a little bit more than all the others. And that person was a young 13-year-old by the name of Braden Harrington. And Braden Harrington had met the presidential candidate, Biden. And Biden had noticed that Braden had a problem that caused other kids to make fun of him and to laugh and about him and reject him and put him down because Braden had a speech issue and he stuttered a lot. He has a hard time with certain words and sometimes when he's reading or speaking and the other kids often laughed at him, but when Joe Biden met him, he noticed Jaden's, weakness, and he said to Jaden, "You know, I've had that same problem. I used to stutter." Yes, the one who is the presidential candidate said, "I used to stutter like you." And then he worked with Jaden to say, this is what helped me to overcome. And he worked with him and showed him how to write his words out and so he could pronounce them correctly and some things that would help Braden be better in his diction and announcing. The way he pronounced things and help him to get past his stuttering. And Braden, with that weakness, was on national television in front of millions of people on a program with people who are college graduates from Ivy League schools, people who work in prestigious positions. But when they were asked what was the best or who was the best speaker or what was the best thing that they heard, many of those who experienced the telecast said it was Braden Harrington, who read about his friendship with Joe Biden. And as he read two or three times, he just couldn't get that word out. But the fact that he had so much courage that he was willing to put forth all that he could were just amazing to so many. And when we saw him, and when we saw this young 13-year-old talk about the one that was a candidate for president, then we saw, maybe more than any other time, a quality of that candidate that amazed us, that he was willing to help the underdog to be better. And that's what God does for us. That's why we serve an amazing God. Oh, because he takes us with all of our stuttering. It may be may not be a speech stuttering, but we may stutter in other places in our lives. We may stutter with other habits. We may stutter with addictions. We may stutter with selfishness or self-righteousness. We may stutter with envy. We may stutter with unforgiveness. We may stutter with so many things in our lives. And I'm glad God says, yes, that's where you're at. But let me come into your life. Call and let me send you my spirit, put my spirit in you. And then whatever difficulties you face on the outside, you'll be able to overcome, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's our God. That's our God. God's strength works through weaknesses. And the greatest example of this is God's own son being willing to allow himself to be crucified on a cross. He was strong, but he became weak. He could have called angels, but he accepted his human weaknesses. And he allowed them to nail his hands and nail his feet. And he died for us on Calvary's cross. He allowed himself to spit on and all kinds of beatings and horrific treatment. Probably should have died before he got to the cross. But on that cross, he died for us. Blood streaming down. Our Jesus died for us. But God uses that moment when Jesus appears, the Son of God appears to be weak, and God, in his dying as a human being, provides salvation for whoever will accept him and put their trust in him. What an amazing God we serve. And he died for us. And they took him down off that cross and buried him in a borrowed tomb. But I'm glad. Early Sunday morning, the one that was weak on the cross became strong, and God's strength, God raised him from the dead. God raised him from the dead. And God will raise you up from weakness to strength. God will raise you up on a platform where you can see the glory of God wherever you are this morning. I just want to let you know, God will raise you up from your depths, down this depression. God is able to raise you up and to use the weaknesses, the inadequacies of your life, that his glory may shine through it. Because we're a treasure in earthen vessels. The earthen vessel is our weakness because it's cracked. And when the earthen vessel is cracked, you can see the glory of God shining through the weakness. And you know it's coming from somewhere. You know it's coming from a great God. I'm glad that he can use even me. So whoever you are this morning, followers of Christ, I know even in this period, that's because of some things that are happening around us. Sometimes we just feel inadequate to handle the heavy load and the things that are going on. We feel so much pressure from being a bunch of these things. We're wondering sometimes if I got what it takes to make it out. But I'm trying to tell you, it's not if you got what it takes, it's if you got who it takes. And if you got God, you got who it takes. And he's the God that can empower you to make it through. And when you make it through, you'll know it wasn't because of your own strength, but you'll come out with your hand lifted in praise, because you know it was God that brought you through and brought you out. It was God that made a way out of no way. It was God that opened doors, amen, that were closed in your faith. It was God when the unemployment check didn't get there on time. It was God when you got the pink slip that took care of you. It was God that when you had, amen, the COVID-19, and they said you had it, but you made it through, and you still made it. It was God that did it. Even in our weakness, his strength is made perfect, because that's the kind of God he is. That's the God he is. Some of you lost loved ones this year. And I know it was heartbreaking. I know that it took a lot out of you, but he's strength. He's strength. He's strength. God, he's strength. Thank you, God, for being our strength when our strength ran out. Oh, Lord. When we were at the end of the rope. Oh, Lord. When we hit rock bottom and we found that you were the rock at the bottom. Oh, God, thank you for being there for us. Our strength, God's strength, was made perfect in our weaknesses. Our weak, God's peak. You can't see how great God is without that weakness. That's why I said, God said, I'm gonna give me some folk with some weaknesses. I'm going to give me some folk that's inadequate. I'm going to give me some people that are not going to trust in their money, not going to trust in their job, not going to trust in their position, not going to trust in their education, not going to trust in any of these things. I just want a whole lot of folk that's willing to lay all that stuff aside and say they're going to trust and follow me. And I'm glad that God said, oh, yeah. And them, those are the ones that I can use to bring my glory through and to shine my glory through their lives. Thank God. We're going to give you a song. Hopefully we have the song. Gabby has it over here. Gabby going to come with the song to share with you. We're going to share the song. And then after we share the song, we'll come back and let you go for the day. So hold on for just a second to hear this song and kind of just reflect upon the message and reflect at the song that's being sung. Hold on just a second.
I've made it this far.
For his grace, and thank God for all of you that shared with us today. About ready to log off and for today. Hope you will have a great day. Now, we want to give you a moment. Just I know lately we haven't invited you to do it, but if anybody like to chime in, amen, we bring you on for a second. We got a couple of minutes left. If not, if you have comments, we let you come in. We see that you're on all of y'all come in. On the through the texting or whatever. But if you want to come in with your voice, we'll allow you to do that too for just a couple of minutes before we sign off today. Thank you again for joining us. Like I said, there's a whole so many worship services and things on the radio and television and that you can get on online. We appreciate that you chose to share in our broadcast this morning. It'll be part of the Beth's podcast gathering. I do want to remind you it's for Sunday, and I'm going to just pray just a few minutes in a few minutes, because this is the Sunday that we pray for those names that you placed in the jar that have strongholds, addictions, and habits. So we do want to pray for those, and they can, that God's grace and his amazing strength will be there for them as they deal with that very real struggle that they're going through. So let's pray for that. God, we thank you again today as we pray. We're not that jug that so many of us at the beginning of the year placed names in, those were struggling with different issues in their lives, maybe their strongholds, habits, addictions, selfishness, unforgiveness, just something that they need a breakthrough. They need you to break through to their heart and give them the power to overcome in these areas, God. So that's what we're praying. We're praying all of us have our various struggles, God. But some are just, in some life, there's a particular struggle that this is devastating to their particular lives. And we all need you, but especially those where life being devastated by that issue. Oh, God. So we just pray, God, for you to move in a mighty and majestic way. We know how amazing your grace is. We've seen so millions of lives that have been changed by your amazing grace. We've heard all the testimonies of things that you can do. And we've seen people just radically changed by your grace. So we pray, God, for those friends of ours, or family members of ours, or fellow church members, or neighbors of ours, God, that we see will have those issues that have so devastated their lives. God, we're praying for them, God, that you would allow them to have a breakthrough, that your grace would give them the strength to once and for all break away from those things so they can become the person that you created them to be, a person who's a follower of Christ, a person who knows their purpose on the planet and are pursuing that purpose in the power of God. And we pray for our whole congregation, God. We just thank you for bringing us all through, God, and giving us strength, and not only our congregation, but all the congregations this morning and all of the church worldwide and that are seeking to follow you faithfully, God. Give us strength, and all of our friends and neighbors. Let's help us to be a light to our communities. Thank you for what you're going to do in advance. We pray for our nation, God. We pray for our leaders. And we pray, God, that, again, as we always have been doing lately, that somehow, God, you will just bring this pandemic under control, where things can gradually begin to go back to normal. And a new normal that where you even recognize more than you were before. We know you can do that. So we pray for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We pray for everybody that's listening. Have a great day. We enjoyed sharing the podcast with you. And we'll see you, if not before then, the same time next week. We'll be here on the podcast again. Thank you so much. Have a great day in the Lord.